WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, where hundreds of researchers make new discoveries inspired by the work of previous Dana-Farber scientists. Learn more about their momentum at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on The Brian Lehrer Show, how Facebook tried to manipulate your mood. We'll find out about the recent experiment our social media overlords conducted to see if certain words they fed us would make us happy or sad. And we'll have a little chat about the ethics of their little game. Also today, Middle East historian Juan Cole on why he's optimistic about Arab democracy despite, well, everything. The author James Patterson on the one book you'd want a sixth grader to read and why he worries that Amazon is killing literature. And listening to the World Cup announcers in English and Spanish today, how different the styles are and the references to race. And I don't know how they sound in Flemish. I'm not sure we'll get to that. But first, the court ruling you may have missed yesterday while everyone was obsessing on the Supremes. The highest court in New York State said towns across the state can ban fracking. One by one, if they so choose. Energy companies with natural gas leases had challenged their right to do so, saying only the state can make that decision. As Governor Cuomo continues to delay a decision on hydrofracking policy in New York, this ruling massively changes the landscape. And guess what? It could help Cuomo say yes to fracking. Let's talk to Tom Wilbur, journalist in Central New York, and the author of Under the Surface, Fracking Fortunes and the Fate of the Marcellus Shale. Hi, Tom. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Would you tell us first about the two specific towns that were defendants in the case, Dryden in Tompkins County and Middlefield in Otsego County? Now, you know, these are almost unknown place names here downstate. They might as well be in Kansas as far as people in Brooklyn and Manhattan are concerned. So what are those places like, and what happened there to start all this in court?
Sure, and that's important, the where it started and when it started. So this was in 2011 when it started, and you'll remember that the prospects and expectations for shale gas development were a lot more imminent then. People had the expectation that this might start any time. Cuomo was still on the fence, and there was news reports that they were about to approve policy for shale gas any time. Now, Middlefield is in the Catskills area near Cooperstown. It's a resort community, and land preservation is very important there. And Dryden is in the Finger Lakes area, and there's a similar land ethic there of preservation of summer homes, of tourism. So both at the time when people were feeling that shale gas development was imminent, both of these towns wanted to do something, and they passed land use policies that said shale gas development does not fit with our land use ideals here.
So what did
and
the,
then,
go
as,
ahead.
As you noted, the industry challenged them on that.
So what did the court say exactly?
Well, the lower courts first approved, they ruled in favor of the municipalities. They said, yes, municipalities can, in fact, ban shale gas development. Now, a lot of the argument came down to this. The industry was saying, you can't regulate this. The state has to regulate it. The state is the jurisdictional body. And the municipality said, well, we might not be able to regulate it, but banning it is different from regulation, uh-huh. And we can ban it.
And I guess the court sided with that argument. One technicality, if I understand it correctly, the energy companies had the leases before the towns zoned for no fracking. So the companies claimed at least that they could, you know, they shouldn't be able to do this retroactively. Why did they lose on that point? No one wants to invest money and then be told retroactively that a new law blocks you profiting on it.
Sure. Well, there's a couple different arguments here, and one is that it came down to a jurisdictional thing. What you're talking about is a takings claim, and that is a landowner can say, look, I had money coming in here, and the state effectively took it away from me. So this didn't come down to the takings claim. It came down to a jurisdictional thing about who regulates it and whether regulation includes banning or not banning. With leases come, leases go, leases expire. So that wasn't really on the table for this.
Listeners, questions or comments on the New York State Court of Appeals ruling on fracking and its implications, giving towns that have shale gas the right not to just be creatures of the state, but to decide for themselves whether they want to ban fracking or have fracking? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. For Tom Wilbur, who covers this very closely, he's a journalist in Central New York and author of the book, Under the Surface, Fracking Fortunes and the Fate of the Marcellus Shale. So I'm curious, how robust was the debate in these two towns about whether to ban fracking? Were there people who wanted it for the jobs and economic development? You know, on the takeaway, they made the joke today about towns in Central New York being like the Beverly Hillbillies, Granny and Jethro, you know, out in the hills of West Virginia, and all of a sudden, oh, black crude, Texas tea, their oil, there's oil on their property, and they become instant millionaires. Is there a threat of that in upstate New York, or really mostly those who don't want the environmental risk?
Well, that's an interesting question, because these two towns definitely were not like that. They did not want it, so they did not have a hard time getting the town council to vote in favor of the ban, because that's where it all started, in the town council room. But there are towns that do want shale gas development, and they have not passed these bans. And interestingly, those are the towns where there are most likely to begin drilling, because Middlefield and Dryden really are on the very fringes of the Marcellus. And the geology does not look all that promising anyway, especially under the price of gas now. Now, as the price of gas goes up, the ban goes up, then shale gas companies will look further on out into the fringes, places like Dryden and Middlefield. But there's towns right along the Pennsylvania border that do have more of the Beverly Hillbillies mentality, like we're striking it rich, farmers can get a lot of money, and they don't have bans.
And so this is where we get to the question of whether this ruling could ironically make it easier for Governor Cuomo to lift the temporary fracking moratorium. He's getting it from both sides for not having made a decision for so long now on fracking yes or no in New York State. He was probably trying to kick the ball, you know, kick the can down the road until after his reelection day. But maybe this makes it easier for him to say yes if a town wants it, because towns that don't want it are now protected from the state. So here's Tom West, a lawyer who represents Norse Energy, which held gas leases in Dryden.
Maybe this will give the governor an impetus to decide to give it the green light, now that it's going to be in a limited area of New York and only where the municipalities favor the development.
So that's interesting. Tom, maybe this ruling enables the governor to give fracking the green light, now that it would only be where municipalities ask for it.
Yeah. Now, the governor really hasn't said much about this in recent years, but one of the last things that he did say very explicitly about it, it was in 2011, 2012, I think, was that he was ready to go ahead and give lift the moratorium in areas that wanted it and keep the moratorium in areas that didn't. In other words, let the places that want it go ahead on a test basis.
So he was ready at the level of policy to do what this court did at the level of law.
Exactly, yes. And this might essentially provide political cover for him down the road, saying it's logical, and now the courts agree that places that want it should have it, and places that don't shouldn't.
212-433-WNYC. And John in the Catskills, you're on the air. Hi, John. John.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to say Tom West is absolutely wrong. He lost his cases. He lost so many others. The overwhelming movement of 175-plus towns that have passed prohibitions on fracking underscore a massive movement of New Yorkers who want a statewide ban on fracking. Just like you can't have smoking on the back of the plane because it poisons people in the front of the plane, the same thing is true with fracking. Fracking anywhere puts all New Yorkers at risk, and Governor Cuomo needs to ban it statewide.
But make that case. If you're going to make that case, make that case. If some town along the Pennsylvania border that has a lot of shale gas wants to have this, why is that a risk to you in the Catskills, to me in Manhattan, whatever?
Well, first of all, these local towns don't want it. There are some towns that are split, but there are a lot of people in those towns who don't want it. We've seen a very broad movement in the southern tier across the border from Pennsylvania who are opposed to fracking.
So these towns may have their internal debates, but who are you and who would the governor be to go in and say, no, we're telling you, you can't have this local debate and self-determination, home rule, and come up with your own decision?
Because this process is inherently dangerous, it poisons people's water, it poisons air, it destroys the climate, it can threaten the neighboring town's property values because of the water contamination, because of the flaring, the heavy industrial process. It's a statewide issue because it impacts everyone across the state, no matter where it is, and it's inherently dangerous and shouldn't be allowed anywhere.
John, thank you very much. Listeners, agree? Disagree? 212-433-9692. Millie in Manhattan, but you have a house near some Marcellus Shale gas deposits.
Yes.
Is that right, upstate?
Yes, Brian. I'm a West Sider. Listen to you all the time. Thank you for your wonderful show.
Thank you.
I also have a house for the past 20 years in Calicoon, and I've been, all of us up here have been on top of this for the past 6 years before people even knew what the word fracking was. And it all comes down to changing your town board, the members of your town board, which we have been trying to do in multiple elections the past few years, because most of these local town boards, even though there are many, many, many New Yorkers, New York City people that have houses up here and have rights up here because we all pay taxes, the local town boards are still run by the good old boys, and most of those people are big landowners, and those are the only ones that really will benefit from the fracking. So it's divided the communities up here, but most of the people, again, it's mostly the people who have land and the people who run the town boards that don't want it. This is the town of Delaware that I am in. So this is a wonderful ruling for us, and we're actually having a celebration. I'm up here for the 4th of July week, and there's an email going around the community bulletin board online that we're having a big celebration in Narrowsburg on Thursday night if you want to come up and join us, because we've worked so hard. I have banned fracking signs in my window on West 72nd Street. I walk around handing people anti-fracking buttons and explaining people on the subway, explaining to them what fracking means.
Oh, that was you? No, I'm kidding. But the where you are, Delaware, is that near the Delaware Water Gap, sort of where Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey come together, Port Jervisy, that kind of thing?
It's above that, Brian. The town of Calicoon sits right on the Delaware, and if you cross the Delaware, you can walk right over. You are in PA. So we are exactly one of those towns that sits on top of the Marcellus Shale. And we're 20 miles, say, if you go up to Monticello, 20 miles due west of Monticello is Calicoon. But the town of we are in the town of Delaware. Calicoon is considered
Right.
a hamlet, I guess.
No implications there for the New York City watershed, the reservoirs, but for the local area there, right?
Absolutely, I have well water in my yard. But this is not, this is for all of us, because once it starts, you have to just give a real a big hand for all the people in New York and New York City and all over New York State who have been able to stop this, because we are the first state in the country because of the people that have been able to actually stop these oil and gas companies from coming in. We've been working on it for 6 years, and this is the best decision that we have had. I've been to Washington numerous times, to Albany numerous times, New York City. That this has been going on for a long time. I've heard these programs on your show before. So this is a great victory for us, and we just hope that eventually, every year we try to get our people in, and maybe eventually we will be able to get someone in, and we can we can put the ban in the town of Delaware also.
Millie, thank you very much for your call. I really appreciate it. So, journalist Tom Wilbur, we've heard from both of these callers about questions regarding the democratic process at the town level. People who are, and granted, both of these callers were clearly anti-fracking, but they're saying even for the towns that may come up with a local decision to have fracking, who controls these decisions and is it really democracy? Millie was saying the big landowners, relatively few of them, they're the only ones who really want the fracking in town, but they are the ones who control the local politics, so it may go through. Have you reported on anything like that?
Yes. Being a reporter for a small-town newspaper, a mid-sized newspaper in Binghamton, New York, and covering town boards, you come across that all the time. And it's a very interesting question. To what extent does the town board reflect the constituency? And just by way of example, I've reported many years on IBM in the village of Endicott, small village. A lot of news relating to the economy, the environment there. And for years, a lot of the town board and the village board was made up of people who worked at IBM. It was an IBM town. There was 10,000 people in the village, about that many probably worked for IBM. And there was, there's this complaint that the village board was doing a lot of things that favored IBM. They were giving IBM a break because they were IBMers. Well, you got that similar dynamic with the town board landowners, right? So, but if you have a town board in a rural community that is comprised largely of landowners, they're probably representing a lot of people in their area that are also landowners. Because face it, when you live out in a rural community, you have a smaller population that owns a greater part of the land. Is it always fair? No. Are there people out in the town board that aren't landowners that are going to be in the minority? Yes. But I do have faith in the general process here that town boards do generally reflect the people reflect their constituency or the people they elect them,
I noticed that the town of Dryden's complaint against the fracking leases was not just on environmental grounds. It also said that the character of the community would change. So is there something that goes beyond the science and the health risks in these discussions too?
Oh, very much, and I think you're seeing a great example of it here. This is about land use. And what are the values of the community, and how does the community see itself? And these are things that are, anybody that goes to town board meetings here in upstate New York, these things come up all the time, whether they're infrastructure projects, whether they're land conflicts with neighbors, whether they're parks. The town is discussing what the values are, and a lot of times those values are reflected in land use.
Nancy in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nancy.
Yes, good morning. We are New Yorkers, but we have a second home up in the Catskills, and we have been fighting both the fracking and also large hotel and golf course use. And I'm always amazed at how New York City doesn't respond to this, because inevitably this will affect the fresh water that comes directly from the Catskills down to New York City.
Well, there's been a moratorium statewide, but it seems like there's a stronger moratorium on fracking around the watershed, the reservoirs that serve New York City and Westchester, and that the politics would never allow the towns there to bring in fracking, that there the state's going to step in because the politics of 8 million New York City residents, et cetera, is just too prohibitive. So, Nancy, are you really concerned?
Well, yes, because they have allowed this going on. They have allowed this conversation and this politicking going on, and they did not just say no, stop. This is not going to happen. That's never happened, and we've been working for 8 years to try not only the fracking, but also golf courses and huge hotels that are right on top of springs that flow into New York City.
Nancy, thank you. Tom Wilbur, New York City watershed, not affected by this decision directly, because these towns that got the right to ban fracking are outside the watershed. But how do you see, and have you reported as a Binghamton-based journalist on the downstate reservoir issue? You know, my sense is, even though the moratorium is not permanent at this point, that the politics are prohibitive.
Yes, and I agree with that. And moreover, the latest version of this policy review, the Supplemental Generic Environmental Impact Statement, it's a mouthful, that people are waiting to be finalized or taken off the table, one or the other. That final version has taken the New York City watershed off the table for fracking. So that you might remember that it went through several different revisions, and there was a huge outcry from New York City about concern over the watershed. So with the second revision in the series of public hearings they had, after those public hearings, they essentially said, okay, we're not going to frack in the New York City watershed, which raised another interesting question, because a lot of people in the southern tier, where they said they would start fracking, where Cuomo was talking about starting fracking, said, well, look, if it's not safe enough for the New York City watershed, why is it safe enough to do it in these other areas? And incidentally, they not only took the New York City watershed off the table, they took a few others off the table, too, including one up around Syracuse.
Interesting. So the court ruled yesterday, the highest court in New York State, the Court of Appeals, ruled that towns can ban fracking on a town-by-town basis. The oil companies or natural gas companies have said, no, only the state can make that decision for the whole state. Court sided with the localities. And Tom Wilbur, before you go, I also wonder if this ruling has broader implications for home rule around the state in general. In New York City, for example, we're so hamstrung by state powers, we can't set our own rent laws or minimum wage laws, or the city speed limit, or decide whether to build a sports complex on West 33rd Street. Those are all real examples. Lawmakers from Tompkins County and Otsego County actually have a say in how fast you can drive on Atlantic Avenue or how much rent you can charge in Astoria. So does this court ruling begin to break the back of this juggernaut of state authority over local home rule in general?
Oh, I think so. And as journalists, as an upstate journalist, you know, I've seen this sort of thing happen where we're all for people getting involved with the government, people being informed, and people having some sort of influence in the governmental process. And while the village board meetings and the town board meetings can a lot of times be very dull to cover, there you always don't have a home rule statewide national issue like this to cover. They're so important, and they're so important where to engage people with government, where people can make a voice from the ground up. So I think it's personally, as a journalist, seeing this type of empowerment for local governments to to control their own future over land use and not be under the state jurisdiction where the state says you have to have it, so you have to have it. It is very interesting and a positive development as far as a lot of readers go.
All right. So we will revisit this on other topics and see the implications of this court ruling at another time. Tom Wilbur, journalist in Central New York and author of Under the Surface, Fracking, Fortunes, and the Fate of the Marcellus Shale. Thanks a lot. Great job.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Mark Zuckerberg's Curiosity and the Ethics of You, How Facebook Tried to Manipulate Your Mood. Stay with us.